You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Are you guys all ready? Is everyone ready for the new pilot of the new show that is sweeping the nation? There are not enough movie podcasts out there. David Sampson reviews a movie every day on Nothing Personal. Cinephile with Adnan Virk. He also has a movie podcast, and Cinephobe with Amin. So, Juju, are you ready to get into the space with David Sampson? Is there been any planning here that would allow me to toss it as the host of this situation into a game show?
We have some imaging. We have a background that I think can be placed up, or maybe it's just on TV. I don't know. And then we have some music. You want to hear the music?
All right.
There it is, the official logo.
Do I want to hear some music?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the best podcast in the entire freaking world. And introducing the man himself, David Sampson, the bee in the middle.
Welcome to A Few Jews Cutting It Up, episode number one. Yes, that's Jew, as in J-U, Juju Gotti. I'm David Sampson, the J-E-W part of the two Jews. We'll be with you once a week, depending on the financing from Metal Arc Media, and we will be reviewing movies, talking movies that you've seen, that you care about, not the ones that I saw in my childhood, the ones that the one Jew you're looking at has seen currently, and we're here to start talking about Poor Things. What's wrong, Dan? Cut. 4-8-69.
I'm scared. I'm scared, but let's go. Let's review.
Dan, you're going like this. Your head is in your hands.
We can't worry about the haters right now, David. Right now, what's important is him. Emma Stone. Oh, my goodness gracious. She deserved that Oscar. I was one of the guys who was like, hey, you know what I mean? Old girl from the Scorsese movie. With
Lily Gladstone.
See, this is why we're a great team. Lily Gladstone. I was thinking that Lily Gladstone might should have got it, but then I took my ass to the Hulu, salute to Hulu, and watched Poor Things, and ma'am and sirs, she did her thing in that film, and it was beautifully shot. Oh my God, sets amazing, David.
Were you shocked at the amount of nudity in that movie?
Oh, yes, I was, but pleased.
Now, it's not allegedly, there was actually that level. Emma Stone, as an Oscar award winner, doing a movie that some criticized her as being way too sexual, and especially that scene with Mark Ruffalo. That was scary, except it made me feel good because he looks like I do.
Scary?
the Hulk. I mean, he did a great job in that film. He's so believable as an asshole. Oh my God, I believe it. I think he is one in real life. I think that it was beautifully written, beautifully shot. I think that deserved all the flowers it got at the Academy Awards.
Now we're going to get somewhere because Mark Ruffalo obviously has very significant political opinions that we don't necessarily need to discuss here.
I don't know anything. I didn't talk to anyone, Dave.
Juju, one of the things that we're going to do for our audience is we're going to give them our opinions of the movies and of the people who make them, and we're going to make sure we don't focus only on Martin Scorsese the way Adnan does. We're going to talk about the way people make movies, how movies get made, the money, and then the product. So we have Poor Things that we started with. And for our audience, we're going to watch movies every day and come to you with a different review so that you know what to watch. Because if one Jew likes it and the other Jew likes it, that means no matter what, you're going to like it.
And you're going to talk about the business of movies on this podcast. I feel like you've already lost Lucy. Lucy's already despondent. She's come to work in a way that's not feeling good.
She's hurting. Dude.
You're not making her any happier. I have no proof she's even listening to you guys anymore.
You're been doodling.
You're doodling. Okay. She's doodling.
It's making
me
feel
actually
better.
Man, you keep focusing on the haters right now. We are, screw Adnan Burke and Cinephile. We are here to stay, baby. So yes, sir. David, back to you.
Juju, we're not going to have any hate on this podcast because you get enough of it with Dan's show.
Zagak.
And you get enough of people ignoring and having the wrong view of both your Jew and my Jew. Forget it. We're about love. We're about people who actually care about what they're talking about. No hate. If people want to doodle, turn the channel. We're going to build a big enough audience that we'll be okay.
David, I'm going through something right now. Yeah. Cut me some slack.
Lucy, what is the statute of limitations when your team loses? How long can you stay angry and upset?
I'm giving myself 2 weeks. Yeah. I gave myself year.
I think that's
One week last year, and now this back-to-back national championship games. So I get 2 weeks. So please don't be mean to me right now. It's illegal.
David, I'm producing this thing on the fly. You have to rate movies doing it this way. 5 stars of David. Okay.
5 stars of David. Wow. So good.
It's so good.
You mean, just give him an executive
EP.
Give him an EP cut. He will absolutely help this. This project needs the power, strength, and voice of a Stugatz to make the business profitable, right? You need his help. Let's go.
Stugatz.
And the best thing, Stu, is that you can do this from anywhere in the country.
Oh.
Doesn't matter.
Don't open that door, trust me.
Don't open that door, open. David.
I'm running through it. Stu, all you need is a Wi-Fi connection. Give us 1 hour of your time a week, and we will do this cutting it up with two Jews rating movies with stars of David.
Stugatz, I would be very careful, Stugatz, of getting into business with this man because he's on tour right now and he knows how to. If you think you not writing a book that you're publishing is going to make money, give this man an opening to some of these opportunities. If you hosted this particular show, there's a business opportunity here for
you. Is there a paycheck, though?
Well, you got to be careful negotiating with Samson.
Stu, I'm going to give you the terms of the deal right now.
All right.
I'm going to give you both a piece of the show and a weekly fee to guarantee that you show up.
How much, though?
I'm in.
I will give you whatever. I can tell you exactly.
Name my price? Wow.
Given the sponsors, I'll give you $2,000 an hour. Plus 5% of the ownership of the show.
Wait, hold up a second. I think I can do this.
I'd like to be part of this show.
I can do this.
I love movies.
I'm in on the 2K an hour.
Wait, Lucy.
Hold on, sharks.
No.
Samson, you will be 5% able.
5%
Samson, if you want to, you can have your choice of the group, actually, if you want Stugatz to do it, but I'm sure the others, now that you've named your price, I'm sure all the others
The deal, David.
That you'd want would take the deal as well.
I'll do $1,500 an hour, and I am also Jewish, so
we've got it's two Jews, not three.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the show is just but like the Hee Haw
Jews
three.
Are welcome.
Yeah, all Jews are welcome. We can't be
that means put that
excluding
out there.
The Jews. I mean, come on, David.
All Jews are welcome to listen and sponsor. But the microphone, we don't hand out microphones the way Levitard does. We are very careful with our microphones.
Got his ass.
We've got Stu, Juju, and David. Those are the microphones. That's it.
So we've got a deal?
It's closed.
So we've got a deal. The deal has been struck.
$2,000 for every week that you do it.
Right.
Plus,
you understand,
no, but you have to do it.
You understand what Samson's doing? This tour he's doing has nothing to do with Meadowlark. Samson is a hustler. Samson is put on a tour.
I get it.
Are you in Boston?
He's gone rogue.
You're in Boston tonight because someone else is paying for the tour because he can get these people to pay.
Are the things you have to do when Bimmel doesn't return a call. Just go on your own.
Now imagine the three of you touring the country reviewing movies.
Oh, Juju.
The Beatles, baby. You know.
And I've got a better one for you, Stu. Juju and I are happy to do it in Chicago. We're happy to do it according to the Northwestern schedule.
Love it.
We are very flexible about where we will record the show, but I need your complete attention and buy-in to this hour of content that we'll do per week.
You got it. Just so I'm clear, $2,000 an hour, correct? And I'm getting 80% of the show. You're getting 5. Juju is getting 15. Is that the deal?
That's almost the deal, but not exactly.
Hmm.
And I will give this to you in writing so you can show it to your agents and lawyers.
No,
and
we're
I
good.
Will demand a response
I trust
quickly.
You.
No, you
never. I'm the only one.
And that was Two Jews Cutting It Up with David Samson, the preview. We're going to just show a little thought. We can't give you the whole thing right now. But next time, we're going to have it all the way together, Daddy. Salute to everybody.
I am fine with making that an hour that exists on the show next week because you guys have figured out how to do this correctly.
They've figured out an hour not doing it on the show so they can monetize
it. It's going to be their own podcast.
Yeah, you've lost this leverage. It's not yours
Samson
anymore.
Will sell it back to the company because he can get it sponsored. Samson will just go out there and get it sponsored the way that he got his tour sponsored. That's in Boston tonight. Where do people get more information, David?
You can go to citywinery.com. You can buy tickets. We're going to be in New York on the 29th. We still have Nashville and Pittsburgh to go. Tonight, I'm focused on Boston, and each show is pretty specific to the city in which I'm in. So I'm going to be talking about the Red Sox today. I'm going to be talking about the Bruins, the Patriots. We're going to talk about Dynasty, the documentary. And then we do topics of the day outside of the city. It's a pretty good show in that we also have the Boston Marathon race director as a guest tonight. And the Boston Marathon is coming up this Monday, Patriots Day. So people are enjoying it. They're loving the episodes when they're released. They're loyal. We're building. It's like the Training Wheels tour. We're starting something. And you have to start somewhere, Dan. You can't just talk about doing things. You actually have to do them.
Can you give me a business explanation for what it means that Last Dive Bar has filed for trademark of the Las Vegas A's?
This is a big story. In baseball, when you're going to move, like when we went from Florida Marlins to Miami Marlins, there's an entire legal process you go through before making the announcement. And it turns out that the A's never secured the name Las Vegas Athletics. And so the Last Dive Bar said, we're going to apply to the trademark office. It's a federal application process. And they're trying to get control of Las Vegas Athletics. But then it was announced that Major League Baseball actually filed in Mauritius, and which is absurd, but as part of the Paris Convention, it could count toward a U.S. filing. There's going to be an amazing fight, and it's going to take quite a while to solve itself. And the Last Dive Bar is this organization that was started in order to bring attention to the Oakland A's ownership and the nightmare that it is. And they're pretty good at what they do, drawing attention to it, though, of course, the A's are pretty good at drawing attention to themselves. And it just looks like another misstep by baseball and by John Fisher, the owner of the Oakland A's. It's just downright embarrassing, way more so than Marlins Park not being full, way more so than any other team right now. It's one of the biggest issues facing baseball.
Nothing Personal is the name of his podcast. He is very aggressively climbing up the sports media ladder. I don't have time to talk to you about the Rich Eisen experience. Thank you, David. We will talk to you again soon. And again, if you want tour information, David Samson, impossibly, David Samson is on tour, and that information is on your screen. He might be coming to a city near you.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. Kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Lebatard.
David Sampson, weirdo. Because he was not the fun substitute teacher who'd wheel out a TV and play a VHS tape of Armageddon in science class. He was the weird one who would eat an egg salad sandwich while clipping his toenails into the trash can and ranting about Ronald Reagan.
Stugatz.
The guy kept talking about how his ass was smooth. Smoother than a newborn's cheek. He wouldn't stop bragging about his bare buttocks to me.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We have talked a lot, Stugatz, in the growth of social media, of how good basketball has been in the modern age, of knowing how to connect the humanity of its stars to the audience, to dominate social media, which isn't the real world and isn't other media in the mainstream, so that basketball stars and stories and soap operas are something that even if the regular season is uninteresting, you will captivate us in the postseason because we're all wondering, hey, Jason Tatum, is it now that you take that last leap with the best team that you've ever had, having the best regular season it's ever had in a weakened conference, and we're all looking at the Eastern Conference the same way. Don't trust Cleveland. Oh, the Knicks are interesting. Look out for the Sixers, and what's wrong with the Bucks? And last night, the Bucks, after playing really poorly for the last 2 weeks in a way that would make no one trust the Bucks, even though in the Eastern Conference there's only one team that can say what I'm about to say. Yeah, Boston, your two best stars, we've got two who are better. There's only one team that can say it. Philadelphia can't say it. Miami can't say it. No one else can say it. It's only Milwaukee. Your two stars, our two stars, ours are better. And Milwaukee last night swamps a Boston team, and then Giannis gets hurt. And Giannis getting hurt is how fragile everything at the top of this conference for the last 5 years has been. Between Milwaukee and Boston and Miami, and who's going to take this conference. Now, I don't think anybody is better than Boston this year, but I would trust Denver more in a series against Boston, not just because I've seen them do it, but because that giant in the middle is somebody who changes every basketball game that he's in, and soon in a couple of years, Wembanyama will ruin this all, because I've heard that giant say, that guy blocked my shot four times, and I told him after the first one, you're not going to do that again, and then he just kept doing it. And that Wembanyama is going to grow, but the legacy of the league and the storyline, Stugatz, are all right here in real time. All-time greats are fighting for shit. Joel Embiid is trying to get back into this race. Everyone fears him if he gets back into this, because physically, there's no stopping that. There's no stopping Giannis, except for what happens last night, lower body extremity. That is something you don't want. That team, that whole thing has been built on a flimsy foundation all year. Doc Rivers has been making excuses all year, and that's the one thing you can't have happen, because even if Lillard goes down, that guy in the playoffs is something that could drag your whole team into the Eastern Conference Finals.
The interesting part with the East is, depending on how the play-in games work out, you have fascinating first round matchups for the first and second seed in your conference, because Boston is either going to be tasked, if things remain the way that they seemingly will, with either Miami or Philadelphia. And those are teams that you don't necessarily want to go up against in the playoffs. Obviously, Miami has their
Boston
flaws,
would love Orlando. They would love
they love anybody but
they
those
love the Bulls, Pacers.
They'd like
the
anybody
Hawks.
But Philadelphia and Miami.
But
and
I don't
then
think
Milwaukee.
I don't think they should fear anybody.
No, they shouldn't fear anybody. But you'd much rather play another team than those matchup nightmares in the first round. And then you look at it after that. two through six is separated by three games. Three through six is separated by just a couple of games. All of these teams can change position in the final few games of the year. So it's so interesting to see the way that shakes out and which teams are going to get what path through that postseason.
There's so many interesting things about the NBA right now. And Dan is right. You have legends of the games, and they're just fighting to get into the postseason. Fighting to be one of the eight seeds when you talk about Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, guys like that. And then you have Jimmy Butler in the East. You have Joel Embiid in the East. But now, because of what happened last night in Milwaukee with Giannis, you want that seven seed in the East, don't you? You don't want the Celtics, of course. You would much prefer getting the Milwaukee Bucks now.
Yeah, I think that the Philadelphia 76ers are scarier than anybody is letting on or paying attention to right now. A healthy Joel Embiid with a healthy Tyrese Maxey, they haven't had that in a while. And now that they're putting it together, Tyrese had 52 the other day without Joel. And Joel put up big numbers last night. It's like, I think that that team needs to be more feared as a whole because, like you said, with Greek Freak going out last night, it really makes the East a little more wider, you feel me? And I don't think that you saying like the changing of the guards you think is here right now. I think Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson have that Patrick – sorry, excuse me. So I'm sorry.
All right, you know what, Juju, $10 because you got $5 from earlier.
Nice,
you
never, right.
You,
wow.
You never paid the $5.
I got you right now.
You're still carrying cash?
Yeah, absolutely. Huh. You got to know.
My man.
You feel me?
Yeah.
You feel me? But I think that how Steph Curry is playing right now, I think that the same way we just all last year, Lamar, oh my goodness, Josh Allen, oh the offseason is going to be so crazy, Odell on the Ravens now. We did not pay attention to Patrick Mahomes and the greatness of the Kansas City Chiefs, and they proved themselves once again. I think that Steph Curry got that in them still.
The problem is if they end up getting the eighth seed and have to play against Denver, it feels like it's going to come to an end very quickly. Because they don't have anybody that can guard
Jokic.
Okay,
let me do this, Stugatz, because you rarely get the opportunity that we presently have where the people listening to this have all the backstory on what I'm about to say. The Golden State Warriors changed the way the entire sport has been played. They have left the sport different than they found it. That's the legacy of this dynasty, and this is the last embers of it. Last night, they go into Los Angeles and swamp LeBron's Lakers that don't have Anthony Davis.
Of course.
The conversation I just had about, do you have the best two guys? Philadelphia can summon an argument for, nah, our second guy, we like him more than Jaylen Brown. And Embiid's better than your first guy. When I'm looking at what's happening in this league, and I am telling Juju Gotti and others, Amin and everyone else, and history goes against me here, Stugatz, when I say this. These young teams, when I'm watching Minnesota, whether you think OKC is knuckleheads or not, I am seeing a difference in youth and athleticism that LeBron, oldest player in the league, still looks like so many of the LeBron things, but he's not as fast and never has been as fast as Maxi. As someone like Maxi, where you're like, holy shit, Gilgeous Alexander can go anywhere he wants and no one's going to be able to do anything about it. And it's going to be the closest thing that I can see spider webbing into a different sport than what Jokic is doing, where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is changing everything, and then he's got one of those guys, Chet Holmgren, who may or may not grow into the second best guy. And you're watching it right now. The young people are coming for the old people. The Timberwolves are on the Clippers court saying, yelling at him, winning by 18. You guys are old as shit. You, Kawhi Leonard, I see you dragging that anchor on your ankle like you have been for 10 years. You used to be us. When you were with the Spurs, you used to. But now the young people want the league. And now, here, when we've watched this part, Stugatz, the Warriors changed it for everybody. I remember watching and being like, wait a minute, what do you mean on a three-on-one break? They're going to the corners. They're not going for the layup. They want 3 points, not two. They're going to change how all of this is done. That team wins multiple championships, and we are watching all-time greats as LeBron tries to grab Kobe's legacy. We've been watching this for 15 years, and now the playoffs arrive, and nobody believes that the young knuckleheads can take out the experience of the old guys when the old guys still look old to me. It doesn't look, Stugatz, like wisdom and experience to me. To me, it looks old when I watch the young guys. And then there's Denver out there, boring as hell, but will beat everyone over the head with a 7-foot club.
Are they old guys, Denver?
No.
Okay.
No, they're young.
No, they're in the middle.
All right.
Bruh, I think that just last year, 2 years ago, the Memphis Grizzlies were so cute. Whoop that trick. Yeah. Whoop, they had, it was so cute. The young guys was taking over and the Warriors tapped that ass. You feel me? So it's like, it sound good, big bruh, but show me in the playoffs. All this is cute in the regular season, but I still watch the immaturity of some of these teams. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams at the end of certain games, brother, they still have immature moments. So show me in the playoffs.
But this is, to me, Stugatz, the reason this is so exciting is because it's a team that revolutionized the sport and belched out Kevin Durant out the side because Draymond's furnace is running now. Steph Curry is crying into his jersey because the Draymond thing is out of control and we'll either ride that furnace to the finals where he'll kick a dude in the nuts and get ejected and he'll score 32 in a game seven. We're going to ride that until it burns out and it's going to burn our eyes and the whole thing's going to sting. And can you take it from us? Because what I've told you is the single best thing that I have seen, better than Mahomes, better than anything watching the aesthetic experience of what is great about sports excellence over the last 15 years. The most beautiful thing I have seen anywhere in sports is late in a game. When the 72-win Warriors are changing the sport, they're down 12, and the leader's backpedaling because he's terrified of what's coming this way. A desperate champion protecting what it's earned? Holy shit, I'm scared of that. But we will either watch it flame out this year, likely, because it runs into too many young pieces, and then there's Jokic, and what the hell are you going to do?
Well, I was going to say the numbers of it, Dan. The teams that are already in the playoffs who have a good chance of advancing to the NBA Finals are mostly the young teams. The older guys are just fighting to get into the playoffs. But I'm with Juju on this. I think if Golden State plays Minnesota first round, that is a I could see Golden State beating them in five games.
I don't know about that, Stu.
I mean,
now Karl-Anthony Towns is clear for 5-on-5. He's going to probably make his way back at some point close to the playoffs. Like, that's a dangerous team. Anthony Edwards is the truth. He's that next guy. We look at, oh, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We look at the Nuggets. We look at the Celtics. It's like, wait, have you guys seen Anthony Edwards play? I know it's on the West Coast. I know it's in Minnesota.
Tony,
I know it's far away.
This is why I think the league is about to be taken from the old guys this year. Like, this is the year. Jokic is kind of a bridge. Is he young? Is he old? I can't tell.
He's old, Dan.
He's like middle generation.
That's why I asked the question. Tatum feels old.
But
I mean,
look, man, OKC has a chance to be here for a really long time.
The most fascinating part is there's actually three generations right now. Right? Because we're talking about the old guys. We're talking about LeBron and Steph and KD. Then you're talking about those next level, which is Giannis and Embiid Luka. And Jokic, who are all of one age before that young group. And they,
the really
right now,
young group,
right?
Yes.
They have a chance to solidify their legacy. So Embiid, who's 30, needs to get through the East now when you have it up in the air like that. That's why he comes back and plays this year. Giannis wants to get another championship. This Boston Celtics team, if they flame out and don't get to the finals, you could see that core change. So in the West, we have the play-in game to think for all of this, because in the Western Conference, you're going to have essentially game seven matchups between LeBron and Steph, between KD and Steph, between KD and LeBron potentially, because all of those teams are sitting there at 7 and 8. It is a fascinating time in the NBA.
And I think that with the Boston Celtics being involved in one of those teams, their late game immaturity, the late game one-on-one between the legs fadeaway jump shot, that's going to come back to bite you at some point, brothers.
Think about the talent we're talking about, where I'm talking about the young people and Luca's middle-aged.
Don Lebatard.
Photography's not as hard as it's made out to be. And now with computers, I mean, you can make anything look like anything, Dan. It's almost cheating. It's not fair. Yep. If you push a button and it takes 1,000 pictures, you're going to find a good one in the batch.
There were a lot of photographers there taking thousands of pictures. One got that photograph. Okay, good retort.
Stugatz.
Haven't you ever passed by photographers? I guarantee you when that shot was taken, we didn't just hear. That's not what you heard. If you were by that camera.
Like in my ear with that.
He does a good camera.
This is the Don Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
Billy, can you get me the stat of the day music, please? I wanted the long version, but you told me it's too long, and I really did want the long version, but Billy says we've got to go the short version here, so here it is.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day.
Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
I saw this stat, Stugatz, and I had to go and look it up because I didn't believe it. I am going to shock this room, I believe, unless Billy or Jeremy have already heard this stat, because I believe it landed in Marlins land the same way that it did for everybody. Are you guys aware of who the home run leader is for the Marlins since the year 2017? What Marlin, as baseball has used this raked town for profit as a brothel to get money, since 2017, one Marlin has hit more home runs total. It's 2024 in the last 7 years. Do you want to guess who that is? I think from the look on Jeremy and Billy's face, they already heard this stat, so it's less shocking to them. Giancarlo Stanton.
No way.
I was going to say Vidal. I was going to say Mike Stanton.
Not Brian Anderson, who comes in second, I think.
That's the worst part.
It's a shitty stat. That's 8 years of shit baseball.
Jazz is about to catch up.
Two playoff appearances.
Well, Stanton leads with 59, and those were all in 2017.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So it's
yeah.
One season. They traded him at the end of the one season where he hit the 59, and no one's been able to pass him since. That's why it's such a punch in the gut.
I couldn't remember if they traded him in 16 or 17, so I felt like I wanted to say Mike. When did he change his name to Giancarlo?
In fairness, there was the COVID year.
Not enough is made of the question that Tony is asking. When did he change his name from Mike to Giancarlo? Because it's an asshole move.
Was that like 16, 17?
No.
I'm looking it up.
No. That was, I want to say that was like 2011.
2012.
Did he changed with the uniforms?
2012.
After a trip to Europe in the 2011-12 offseason, he made it known before the 2012 season that he preferred to be called Giancarlo. Mm.
And it's like if I were to do that right now, if I demanded right now that this will become the Giancarlo Levitard show. Because
it's his actual name. He was going by like his middle name, I think.
Don Carlo. Yeah.
Little Mike Ryan Ruiz action happening.
Stugatz still has yet more players who connote prayer from earlier in the show. Lucy, you've checked out again. What's going on with you? I don't know what to do.
You know what's going on with me, Dan.
Take me a little more through, because I have not seen the video that you produced from Iowa. You were there immersed in what was a symbolically giant sports moment that I'm going to say has never come to Iowa. Can I say that? When I say Caitlin Clark is the most famous American basketball player that there is of any gender, that Caitlin Clark, there is no more famous American basketball player right now. Can I say that you just experienced the height of Iowa mattering at sports in your lifetime?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's why I'm so sad, because that was kind of the last shot. Now, I do think that Iowa women's basketball will be good again. Mm-hmm. I think it's really awesome. You've already sort of seen Iowa's recruited better, you know, the last 4 years because of Caitlin. But we'll never have, you know, that level again, because you're not going to get a player like that ever again. She's generational. Like, it's sad, but, like, I'm grateful. But mainly I'm just sad right now.
But you got it.
Yeah, but... I will probably never see Iowa win a national championship in a major sport in my lifetime. Just based off the way that college athletics are trending, just based off Iowa is a smaller school. It's the second smallest school in the Big Ten. I don't know if that is still the same with the new schools joining, but this was sort of like the last opportunity for Iowa, and they will be good again. They have the number one rated player in California coming to Iowa. Like, they will be good, but what Caitlin was once in a lifetime. And so I appreciate that. I will be grateful for this run. This will be my favorite team forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But also at the same time, I really wanted to see them win a national championship, especially because I hate the stupid conversation going on around Caitlin that she can't be one of the greats because she didn't win a national championship. That's a dumb argument. She went to a national championship with less than any other, you know, squad there. Like, that's just dumb.
Lucy Rodine, Iowa correspondent.
Tony mentioned Stuttgart. Iowa despondent. Tony mentioned earlier sort of how quaint it is to see the purity and innocence of sports emotion, where you just love this thing and you care so much that it makes you weep and breaks you for days. One of the things, and I have found a number of things fascinating about the seismic shift of the last couple of months, where I'm sitting in front of you saying what I think is a fairly impossible thing, which is the women had more 4 million more viewers than the men. And I'm assuming, I don't know whether I have this right or not, but I'm assuming that there was probably more gambling money on the men. I may have this wrong, but I feel like gambling information would feel like it's stronger over there, and that the betting interest would, the knowledge would feel better. Maybe I have that part wrong, but.
Not in my house. Kate Martin, 13 and a half points, salute.
Okay. Yeah, but UConn felt easy. It started to feel easy, and I think a lot of money went on UConn.
All right, I don't know. Right now, I've got to admit ignorance, okay? I'm assuming that more people bet on the men, and so I'm assuming more people are watching a men's basketball game and gambling on it than a woman's basketball game. I may have that totally wrong. But still, 4 million more people were watching the women, and what Lucy is articulating there, which I do believe is lost in the way that we've covered men's sports, is when she's talking about once-in-a-lifetime people, once-in-a-lifetime person came to my sports city. I feel like I'm watching about 9 of those in the NBA right now. Joel Embiid, fragile. What's the matter with you? Why haven't you won a championship? Hey, Tatum, Stugat says you're as good as Durant. Why haven't you won a championship? It's time, even though you're 25 and you've been to 4 Eastern Conference Finals, you're still young. But the way that we do it with this searing needle, we've been chasing around LeBron. You're not good enough. Steph's better than you. And so we have not enjoyed, because we've been too busy chasing these ones. Jokic, you're boring.
Well, you can't have 9 once-in-a-lifetime talents unless you're a cat.
And Caitlin Clark, I mean, dare I say, she's a bigger phenomenon than all those brothers you mentioned. Like, she's a once-in-a-life, like, her talent, like, there's never going to be another Caitlin Clark, in my opinion. I love Juju Watkins, what she brings to the game, but she's a different type of killer. Like, you feel me? So Caitlin being in that city, in that state, I think that's – you just got to be happy it happened. And what's it, whatever the saying is, be happy it happened and not sad it's gone.
In 1 year, Caitlin took down Kim Mulkey, Dawn Staley, and Gina Auriemma. Like, she's a generational talent. We won't see something like her again, and thank God we get to continue to watch her in the W, but her range, the way she's able to move the ball, like, that, she's generational, and that's so cool to see people kind of attach themselves to that and finally, you know, give women's basketball a chance. And Caitlin opened the door, and she deserves all the credit for that. I think she'll go down as one of the most influential basketball players of all time.
And I think it's definitely going to transfer to the W, because I think all of this hating and all this rivalry between her and Taurasi and Stewie, that's going to be lovely to watch, and so much attention is going to be on the W. I promise to God, I shed tears watching all the coverage that the W and all the women's college basketball is getting, because I've been a supporter for so many years, and it's always just been laughed at by my homies or whatever. Now we are all watching it, and I'm so proud to say I live in this generation.
Juju, how many of those 4 million extra that the women got do you think were spending time in that space? Because I believe there were a lot of people who were just coming over for the bustle of it. What's everyone making such a big deal about? But I would imagine, as I was watching it, I don't know how much I can say about what I'm about to say here, but one of the documentaries Metal Arc is making right now, the start of all of this with...
Usually if you don't know if you can say it, you err on the side of caution and don't
right. I'm not going to do that. People will see that we'll have documentaries out here shortly, but is at the center of sort of like ground zero of where some of this started, where if you're a woman and know some of the history of sports in this country, what we just witnessed seems impossible. Like, this country is going backwards in Arizona, where it's just, okay, never mind, don't care about the woman's body, not in charge of it, the state is. To see this in sports, right? This is so interesting to me, Stugatz. We talked about this. During the bubble, you thought the men were leading. It was not the men who were leading on social justice. It was the women, obviously, with fewer means that were leading at the start of 2000. To see what has risen in this country, in this sport, in this America, around this, the strength of it, You guys tell me right now, you said it's a generational talent. It will feel like that emotionally for a long time. She's at the start of changing all of this. There will be more. The freshmen are coming. Like, the sport is now getting competitive and has opportunity, and Juju Watkins can exist, and maybe she won't be the best ever, but they're going to keep getting better now that we will invest in all of it. And the strength of it, seeing it come to sports, with a different attitude, Stugatz, than, yeah, Billy says, yeah, they can't be generational talents if there are nine of them. No, I'm watching nine generational talents in the NBA that we've been chasing around. I'm watching that in the NBA because we're super critical about how we cover all this shit.
Iowa, South Carolina was the most gambled on women's basketball game of all time. Now, there was $2.72 billion bet on the NCAA tournament's overall, men's and women's. I don't have the breakdown yet, but I do know that's the most gambled on women's basketball game of all time.
Do you think I have it wrong in what I'm theorizing? Because I don't have any information on this. I just assume that when it comes to the men, if there is more information, there are going to be more gamblers there and also more casual gamblers on the men. Like, if there are a lot of people just getting to women's basketball without betting, that's not going to be the first game that they bet.
Well, I don't really feel like there has been more information for the men this year. Like, turn on SportsCenter, all the content and the coverage you're seeing is all of the women's game. I don't know how many of us in here could name five college men basketball players right now, but I bet all of us could name five women's college basketball players right now. So I don't necessarily think it's like a lack of information. I think people have tuned in. There were 14 million people that watched Iowa-UConn. They probably felt a little more confident betting Iowa-South Carolina.
But Lucy, he's not talking coverage. He's talking strictly gambling, and I do believe most people felt more comfortable just betting on UConn because it seemed easy. And they're more familiar with it.
They had more props set up for the men's side, like as far as like second half bets and all of that. They had more for the men set up for sure.
If only we had a sponsor that had some expertise in this area that could get us an answer instead of me gas bagging for 6 minutes knowing nothing and then the rest of us gas bagging knowing even less.
So proud of you.